Welcome to Highly Successful Couples, the podcast that helps couples grow together instead of growing apart. My name is Nick Solacek, and if you ever wanted the ability to take on any conversation with anyone in your life, today's episode could be helpful for you, as we're going to discuss those awkward, uncomfortable moments that we all face from time to time. And I'm also going to share a technique that I created for these moments and make the PDF worksheet available as a free download. I'm going to share a story about a recent experience that I had with a friend where I felt extremely angry to the point that I felt like I was ready to fight. You know, I could just feel the anger in my body. And I'm going to share how I worked through that experience, how I reacted in the moment, and eventually how I approached resolving the situation. And I think this conversation will be helpful for you. In my experience in group work, and whether that's therapy groups or men's work, co-ed groups where there's a focus on growth, transformation, learning about oneself, I've noticed that in the sharing of other people, I can see myself in them. Maybe I have a judgment. Maybe I have some thought that is othering them, like, oh, I'm not like them, or they're different, or, you know, I'm not like that. But I notice that there's also something beautiful about the transparency. And if I'm honest with myself, I can see a part of me in the other person's experience, you know, and I can empathize with that. And I benefit from that, and I can learn from that. So my hope is by sharing a personal story from my life that that can help you. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what went right in this story, what worked, what didn't, what the resolution is, and how you might apply some of what I used in the situation to benefit you. So let's dive right in. In order to share more context about how you can work through these kinds of moments yourself, I want to share a few details. This is a recent event. I think there's some common patterns that I see in this for all of us, and that you might be able to relate and gain something. So a little backstory, I've known this friend who was involved for eight years, and I can't recall the exact moment that we met, but we met through our local community. We've been friends for a while. We've had plenty of laughs, conversations of depth, positive moments together. We've never had an argument or conflict, at least not one that I can remember that I think was serious or notable. And this moment that I experienced was out of the ordinary. We had plans to meet up with a group of people. I arrived at the venue on time, said my hellos, and over the course of the evening, I perceived that I was receiving a lot of jabs from this friend, more than usual. It wasn't the increased amount of verbal jabs being thrown my way that necessarily landed with me poorly. It was the tone and the way that he appeared to be laughing directly at me throughout the evening. It didn't feel good. I felt disrespected. And I got quiet. I didn't say anything. And I wondered why he was targeting me directly and not any of the other friends around us. I could feel this protective part of me come online. And in my head, where I went in the moment was thinking of violence instead of speaking up and saying, hey, I didn't like that comment. Don't talk to me like that. I just kept quiet and was analyzing the situation, wondering what was going on. What's this about? And there's a bit of a poker player in me, analyzing what's going on around me while trying not to give away too many tells about what I'm feeling. This can be like the owl in the tree, quietly scanning, looking around, you know, not making a sound when it moves. And many guys are like this. And in the imago world, we call this the minimizer, which we'll talk more about in future episodes because it has an opposite, which is the maximizer, and it's important to understand these patterns. But a minimizer is a kind of person that when they feel stressed, hurt, or upset, they have a tendency to get quiet. And they think things through in their own mind. They might think or act independently, not communicating with any language about what's going on for them. And there are other aspects to this pattern, but the main piece here is that minimizers have a tendency to avoid drawing attention to issues. They constrict their energy, tighten up, and can even shut down. And it can be like a turtle withdrawing into its shell. So in that moment, this is partly what was happening for me. I was also confused. I wondered, am I being sensitive here and not able to take a joke? I was a bit caught off guard, and I was feeling a bit surprised by the way he was talking to me because I hadn't experienced him like this before. And in the moment, I wasn't entirely clear about what was going on, and I wasn't sure how I wanted to approach or deal with the situation. So the comments continued. I could feel the anger rising up inside me, and I had many thoughts come up from this state, none of them very productive. But here are two main thoughts that I noticed. I thought, you know, maybe I should take this guy outside and fight him and teach him a lesson. I thought, you know, maybe he's not who I thought he was and I shouldn't hang out with him anymore. This is the last time that I will see him. And isn't that just like us? You know, aren't these thoughts just like humans? We either fight physically or verbally, or we cut each other out of our lives. We will go to great lengths to protect ourselves. We'll flush a friendship or a relationship down the drain because of a moment that we don't like or don't know how to deal with. And if someone does something that's hurtful to you, disrespectful, or wrong, you have the option to remove them from your life. Sometimes that is the right choice. But if you want to give friendships a chance or see if there's a way to make it work, then you'll have to have a conversation about it and do it in a way that helps to bridge the gap towards a sense of understanding. If we cut people off too quickly without any conversation, we could be missing a lot of information. And after a few years, we might not have a lot of friends left. Some of us have a tendency to just sweep these issues under the rug and leave them unaddressed. And in this situation, I considered that too. Sometimes this works because the unwanted behaviors don't happen again. But very often, we end up experiencing the same things over and over because we haven't addressed the situation head on. People are imperfect, and they will make mistakes, myself included. We're going to get it wrong. We might use a tone that, you know, somebody doesn't love. Or they might speak to us in a way that we don't like. Somebody might be late. They might forget, etc. And I'm sharing this story to affirm that even the people in the work, you know, therapists, coaches, counselors, etc., are also working on themselves and are not perfect. And every single person has their own shadows, imperfections, and insecurities. No one is perfect. And I emphasize this point over and over again on this show because social media portrays people as perfect. Different aspects of media in our culture portray people as perfect. Perfect bodies, perfect homes, perfect relationships, and perfect kids. And as Ben Gibbard and Jimmy Tamborello once wrote, everything looks perfect from far away. But the truth is something very different. So we are not perfect, and we can be better. We can strive to do better. In order for our relationships to work and our lives to be meaningful, we actually need this mindset. Forgiveness, compassion, and the commitment to a brighter future. And we have a choice over who's going to be part of our future and who won't. In these situations, we can react really quickly and fail to understand more about what's actually going on. And one version of that exploration, one version of finding out more about what's really going on might sound like, what's coming up for me right now? What am I feeling? Am I seeing this situation accurately? Am I missing key information? What is the other person experiencing that motivates them to behave the way that they are? Do they know who I am and how I want to be treated? Or do they just not care? Do they sense their comments are hurtful to me or their behavior is hurtful? Is that what they want? Or are they just oblivious? We've all got a part of us that wants to protect ourselves from unwanted or undesirable experiences. If we feel violated, disrespected, unappreciated, we can have a strong reaction to that. Our protector comes online and can take control of the situation in a way that it sees fit, which is not always the wisest and most empowering path, even if it is effective and stops the hurt. we can have big feelings that come up and our first thought just might not be the best thing. So how can we slow things down and try to get clear on what is really true and how we can deal with the situation in a way that honors the kind of person that we want to be? And in this situation, my first instinct was to fight. And I've never been the kind of person that engages in physical altercations. I've always tried to avoid them and talk the situations down. Historically, I am not a violent person, but I'm telling you this story because I want you to recognize the violent tendencies that you might have and that we all have. No, you might not be a murderous person, have violent visions or violent fantasies, but humans are a violent species. And you only have to watch the evening news for 10 minutes to know this is true. Since the beginning of written history, we have seen conflicts and violence among us. And it's important to recognize this because sometimes our first thought or impulse is to lash out, hit back, say something to cause the other person a similar kind of pain or more pain. And we do this in our relationships and abuse each other with the best intentions. We may not hit or put hands on each other, but we might say something in a specific way or think something judgmental or demeaning about our partner. And there is a kind of hostility in that. And in this situation with my friend, I tried to talk shit back in a few moments, and that didn't make me feel good. I didn't want to shit talk and exchange verbal jousts with him in some kind of dick measuring contest. I just wanted to hang out with my friend. And after a couple hours, the planned gathering came to an end, and I went home without saying anything to him about my anger and my confusion. I vented to another friend about it because he was there, and I wondered if he saw what I saw. We had a conversation, and I agreed that I should talk with the friend who made me angry and discover more about what was true and what was going on. Over the next 48 hours, my anger subsided, and I felt that his comments were simply unwanted and not part of a friendship dynamic that I was interested in with him. The same weekend, my partner and I were busy. We adopted a 3-month-old puppy, and it took me 2 weeks to actually call him and share about the experience. So I'm going to say a little bit about that, but you know, instead of fighting or cutting my friend out of my life, I extended towards him in a vulnerable way to share what I experienced, how I don't want to have that experience, and how I appreciate our friendship over the years. I've appreciated it over the years, and this is why I'm making an effort to, you know, talk about it with him. And so a part of this is totally on me. It's my responsibility to share about what's happening in my internal world. And if people don't understand me or know how I want to be treated, the inquiry that I make is, have I made an effort to help them understand? Or am I simply expecting them to read my mind? Or do I just quietly hold a belief or judgment about what is normal or how they should be? And consider that if you feel anxious or frustrated about a dynamic in your life, that it might be because you're not fully expressed in some way. And this is common because if we're bothered by the way someone is treating us, then they might not really understand or know how we want to be treated. And anxiety, anger, frustration, resentment, worry, and other things we might feel are the signals going off telling us that we need to protect ourselves or that a boundary is being crossed in some way. These are the signals saying something's out of alignment. These are the sensations in your body that are the lights on the dashboard of your car, telling you to pay attention or telling you that something needs to be adjusted. And this is how I interpret those signals for me, is that something's off here, need to pay more attention to what's going on. But we don't always listen, you know? We haven't learned to listen, maybe in some cases. Maybe our caretakers didn't really listen deeply to us or show curiosity about us, so we don't feel worthy of setting a boundary or being worthy of respect. And we also might not trust the signals in our body or know what to do with them. And dealing with them in a creative way instead of a destructive way can determine the outcome of your life. Can you imagine if I had resorted to fighting? What would that accomplish? How far would it escalate? And people make this choice every day. You all know people or have learned about people that do this. They're not able to regulate their experience, and there's a protective part of them that takes over, which results in extreme circumstances. This protective part comes online, takes the steering wheel of the car, and is in control. And half the Netflix documentaries are about these kinds of circumstances, where someone snaps and does something unthinkable. It's essential that we learn how to process what is coming up for us, to recognize what we are feeling, and discover whether there is an emotional need that is connected to the circumstances. And that might be something we give to ourselves. That need might be something we give to ourselves, say to ourselves, or do for ourselves. And it may be something that we need from someone else. Our ability to do this is shaped by our family system. So our parents' ability to do this informs a lot about our own ability, the extent to which they can self-regulate, the ability that they have a relationship with their emotions, or the extent that they have a relationship with their emotions, really informs about what we learn and what we absorb and the way that we relate. So if they didn't teach us, we can learn how. And in this situation, I decided not to act out or do anything drastic. For those that know me, this has been my temperament throughout my life. I don't start drama or fights, and I'm a relatively easygoing person, even if I can be very opinionated. And I called my friend. I shared in a way about my experience that could help him hear me. I talked about what I don't want to happen, what I appreciate about our friendship, and what I'd like to happen in the future. And to no surprise, we had different experiences of the evening and perceived our interactions differently. We both took responsibility for what we could have done differently. There was a clear sense of understanding between us and a clarity about what we were both going through or thinking or observing throughout that evening. And I'm telling the story and saying all of this to say that you can approach difficult moments and difficult characters in your life with a similar approach. Does everyone care about you? Do you care about everyone? No. But for the people that matter, for the people you care about, the ones that you want to have in your life, this is where you might apply the following tactic. And I applied a simple approach with my friend, which was this. I waited a few days to call him from a more centered and grounded place so that I could approach the conversation clearly. I didn't start the conversation or at any point be hostile with him, attack him, or put him down. I simply shared about my experience in a way, which is that I noticed that this happened. I noticed that I felt this way the other night when you did that or when you said that. And I had an experience I didn't want to have, and I felt confused about it. I don't want to have these experiences because I value you as a friend, and that's why I'm calling you today. So I shared with him that I was also surprised by my own mind jumping to extremes about fighting or cutting him out of my life, and how I don't think either of those choices make any sense. But it just goes to show how activated I was at the time, and I wasn't seeing the situation totally clearly. I was angry. And when we're angry, we're not seeing the situation clearly. We're really inside of a different center of our brain, and we're in protective mode. You know, anger is a very wise and powerful signal. We need to learn how to work with it. We need to learn how to deal with it. We need to be able to understand, what is this telling me? You know, how can I use this feeling to help guide my path forward? And inside of any conversation we have about this, inside of this conversation with my friend, you know, he could deny what I'm saying. He could tell me I'm wrong. He could call me names or simply tell me not to be so sensitive. So there's a risk, you know, it takes vulnerability to have a conversation or to make a phone call like this. There is some risk involved because you never know how someone else is going to take it. But you can increase the chances they can hear you through a good approach. And maybe part of what I describe here is an approach that you can use. So to sum this up, with my friend, he didn't react in a negative way. He apologized. He shared that he would never want to make me feel that way. He shared his own perspective about how he saw the situation and where he thinks certain comments were coming from and what he thinks some of his motivations were. And he told me that he values me as a friend, and he, you know, appreciated me being willing to talk about it. It's interesting that we have friends in our lives and people that we care about, but we rarely tell them that we care about them or that we value them as a friend. And that kind of stuff just goes unmentioned. And the same is true for our romantic partners. We don't always share appreciation and acknowledgement with them. We take things for granted over time, and we just expect things instead of appreciating. And that's one of the biggest complaints that romantic partners have. They don't feel seen, appreciated, or acknowledged for what they do and how they contribute. So to recap my approach here, I did a few things that could work for you. Number one, I committed to having the conversation. I committed to myself, and I committed to another friend who I was venting to, and agreed that I would, you know, make the call. And I made sure that I was in a calm and grounded state, found a time that my friend was available to jump on the phone instead of calling him out of the blue or sending him a text message, which could be misinterpreted. My tone, my volume, my sentiment, you know, could all be lost if I just sent a text. When we got on the phone, I disclosed what I had been keeping to myself for 2 weeks. I shared why I hadn't brought it up, took responsibility for the choices I had made in the moment, that night and afterwards, and what I'm concerned about moving forward. And just to touch on this, in the moment that evening, I could have spoken up. I could have said, hey man, I didn't like that comment. You know, that sort of made me feel angry, and I wonder where you're coming from with that. Is everything okay? Or why did you say that? You know, I could have interrupted that. But what I did is I got quiet. And then in that moment, as soon as I make that automatic choice, and I'm stressed, I go into autopilot, my brain goes into a strategy that worked for me when I was younger, which is programmed into my system and my psyche, I then unconsciously create more of the pattern. And we all do this. We unconsciously create our frustrations and our problems in our life by using strategies that can be ineffective, that can be not the empowering choice, not the best choice in the moment. And if you reflect back on some moments that went sideways, whether it's a conflict with a partner or a disagreement with someone in your life, you might see that, yeah, you know, I could have done that differently. I could have taken a breath. I could have asked them to tell me more before reacting. I could have asked a question, shown some curiosity. I could have not, increased my volume. I could have not got so reactive. So that's an important piece, taking responsibility for your actions, your choices, your thoughts. And I also shared my feelings about the incident and what I would have liked to have happen instead, which is, you know, some of what I just mentioned here. So I think there's a few things that worked well. And I shared my intention for the future. You know, I acknowledged my role in the dynamic. I shared openly and transparently about my experience without putting him down, telling him he's a bad person, or calling him names. And I also asked him for help. I said, you know, I felt a bit confused by this interaction and wanted to talk with you about it because I think you might be able to help me understand more about where you're coming from and how you see things. And this is a very different sentiment than what the hell is wrong with you or why are you such an asshole to me? Some of you listening have no issue with these conversations. You're bold, you're self-expressed, you don't hesitate to speak up or make the call, have the conversation. But a lot of us do. You know, many of us do struggle with this. And it's not always with friends, but it could be with family or coworkers or our own partner. We struggle to talk with our parents about the difficult dynamics in our family system. We shy away from conversations with friends who have grown distant, but we aren't sure why. We distance ourselves from people without trying to resolve the situation. We bite our tongue with our own partner about uncomfortable subjects and issues that bother us. And sometimes taking distance from people is exactly the right choice. We can make a decision to distance ourselves from people without talking to them about it. And some people are not really available to have a vulnerable conversation. Some people lack the self-regulation and emotional maturity to talk about these matters. They might be immature, underdeveloped, and unable to have an adult conversation or hold space for what you've got to say. And in my case, I'm lucky that my friend is emotionally mature and was able to easily have that conversation with me. He actually thanked me for calling him and letting him know, you know, what I experienced and what I was thinking, because he values me as a friend. So, you need to assess what relationships matter to you most and which ones you want to fight for. Parents can be the hardest, and I just want to acknowledge that instead of making it sound like that's easy and you should just go for it. With the hurtful and painful dynamics we experience from time to time, I find that our family and friends are rarely trying to hurt our feelings. They're simply just misattuned. They don't realize that their behavior is making us uncomfortable, bothering us in a certain way, or crossing our boundaries. And it's our responsibility to educate the people around us on how we want to be treated, what is okay and what is not okay. And we're the only ones who know what we need. People cannot read our minds. Other people are caught up with their own issues and their own self-absorption. We're all focused on our own outcomes. So we have to take responsibility for our own needs because most people aren't paying that close attention. And it's not because they don't care. It's really that they're just focused on their own stuff. And sometimes this includes our own romantic partner. Some of us make a covert trade in relationships, and we trade authenticity for attachment. Another way of saying this is, I'm not going to be myself in order to stay close to you. I won't be myself so that you won't be upset. I won't say no because I don't want you to be uncomfortable. I won't be truthful because I don't want you to leave me. I'll be who you want me to be versus who I actually am. I will say yes when I really want to say no. And it makes sense that we make this kind of covert trade because we all yearn for connection. We don't want to experience being rejected, and we want people to like us. Some of us have developed a deep need to please others, which is basically just on autopilot. And it's how we relate, and it can create a lot of pain for us and other people over time. These kinds of patterns often have roots in our childhood that stem from a dynamic in our family system that was similar in some way. And now we're just playing out that dynamic in our adult life. So if it wasn't okay for us to be who we were as kids, and now we're in our adult or romantic relationships, and we just kind of do the same thing. And if this is you, then part of the growth opportunity is to find a way to embody this sentiment. It is okay to be me. It is okay to have my own feelings. And this is not always easy to do, but it's a part of the path forward to expressing yourself authentically to other people in your life. And people often treat us in ways that are out of alignment because they don't know who we are. We don't express ourselves authentically, so they just keep doing what they're doing. And the problem is that we end up feeling stuck in these relationships because our needs are not really being met. We keep hanging on, hoping for them to choose us or hoping for them to change in some way, instead of having direct conversations about how we actually feel and what's going on. So there are a couple of key questions that you can ask yourself to discover whether your relationships are aligned, maybe something's off, everything's great, or there's a little adjustment that needs to be made. And here they are. Do we want the same things? Do we want the same things to a high degree? Do we have the same intentions about what we want from this relationship? Or have I been concealing what I want from this relationship? Or have I been in some kind of autopilot mode, hoping this magically works out the way that I secretly want it to? Facing these conversations is a part of enjoying life. If we avoid them, everything tends to just pile up in the background like clutter in your closet. And if you want to have a sense of relational freedom, then you need to be able to have the hard talks with people that matter to you. And if certain people don't matter, then maybe you need to set boundaries or get some distance from them. It's not always necessary that you have conversations with people you don't want to be close with. Vulnerability matters, but we need to be able to discern who can actually hold our vulnerability and who can't. So if you're interested in learning more about these conversations and approaching someone in your life, you can try a free tool that I created, and the link will be available in the show description. It's a difficult conversation method. It's got a few key steps. And I hope all of you find the courage to face the difficult conversations in your life. because no one's going to do the heavy lifting for us. And it seems to me that difficult conversations are a part of life. And if we can get good at them, we can master them, we're really going to have a lot more freedom. We're going to have ability to maneuver, handle different unique situations with dignity and empowerment and the sense that we're effective and we can get things done. And we can have our back in a way that maybe people didn't always have in our childhood. And that can be part of our healing and growth and maturity. And at the end of the day, we probably don't want the outcome of our life to be entirely in someone else's hands. So it's good that we learn how to do this. I created my show with the audience in mind, which means no ads or sponsors or wasting your time. So if you love this podcast, consider leaving a 5-star review. It helps support the show, which will then help more people in creating relationships that they love. I think that's a meaningful pursuit. Thank you for tuning in, spending some time with me today. I look forward to sharing more with you next week.